Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so that's Andrew Luck. By now, you know he's retired from the NFL. And that was the part of his retirement speech impromptu last night. Didn't get a chance to collect himself, wear a suit and tie, and show up to Lucas Oil Stadium today to announce the news because of Adam Schefter's report. And that was Luck spreading the gospel of Jacoby Brissett, letting everyone know that the Colts are in good hands with his understudy, his backup. And that's where we're going to start this hour. There have been so many angles to the Andrew Luck story. Right now, we're going to discuss the way that it affects this upcoming NFL season. My name's Andrew Filipponi. I'm coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. SiriusXM Channel 206, CBSSportsRadio.com, the radio.com app, which you can download today. iPhone, Android, get it, listen, take it anywhere. A bunch of different places you can listen. One way to get in touch with the show is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You can follow us on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio. My Twitter is at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. So how does this shocking retirement affect the NFL season? For me, it completely flips the NFL universe upside down. Because I'm the host, I'm the guy who 2 weeks ago said, I'm picking the Colts to win the Super Bowl. Indianapolis was one of four teams with the top 10 offense and top 10 defense in 2018. Andrew Luck was second in the NFL in touchdown passes. He made Eric Ebron, he turned Eric Ebron into Rob Gronkowski, a Detroit Lions castoff, a first-round bust in Detroit. He made him the best red zone target in the NFL. Finally, good protection for Luck. Devin Funchess, Paris Campbell at wide receiver, a possession receiver, a big play wide receiver to go with T.Y. Hilton. A defense that needed to find a pass rusher. They bring in Justin Houston from Kansas City. The Chiefs were first in sacks last year. He's an accomplished player. So I really thought the sky was the limit for the Colts. I was not inclined to take the Patriots to get back to another Super Bowl. I was looking for another team, and I landed on Indianapolis. 10-6. The schedule was daunting. I felt like the Colts were the type of team that could win the AFC South, bank one home playoff game, and then go on the road and win a couple after that and get into the Super Bowl. We've seen teams do that before. It's not uncommon that a team will play wild card weekend and then go on to win the Super Bowl. So I had the highest of expectations for the Colts. I thought this was the year, going on 30 years old, that Andrew Luck was going to win maybe an MVP award, win a Lombardi, win a Super Bowl MVP, and cement himself, carve out his space as an all-time great quarterback. Instead, and I know like the Colts don't have a choice. They can't act spooked or scared, or they can't, you know, publicly say that the season is on fire and over. But let's be honest, the Jacoby Brissett, and I know the football analytics people seem to like him fine. You know, you get some of these analytics darlings, some quarterbacks whose numbers translate well in that space. And I'm not one of these hard-headed, ignorant football fans who says that there's no place in the game for that kind of evaluation. I'm fine with the analytics revolution and stats revolution. I don't bank 100% of my opinions on it, though. And that's why I think Jacoby Brissett at best is the fourth best quarterback in the AFC South and is probably more like the fifth best quarterback in that division. Deshaun Watson is number one. Defending AFC South champion with no offensive line, won the division last year. Nick Foles is two. Super Bowl champion, won a playoff game last year. Marcus Mariota is three. He's been to the playoffs before. He's won a playoff game. He has three consecutive winning seasons under his belt. The fourth best quarterback in the division is Ryan Tannehill. Every objective measure will tell you that Ryan Tannehill is a better quarterback than Jacoby Brissett. Passer rating, completion percentage, you name it. So the Colts are going into this. They thought they had maybe the best quarterback depth chart in the NFL with Brissett as a backup. Now he has to move up the ladder, up the totem pole, and they're left with a guy who maybe projects as a Ryan Fitzpatrick type who can get hot but is also going to giveth and taketh. And that's why the Colts' odds to win the division have plummeted. That's why their Vegas win total for the season has gone from like 9.5 down to 7. They go from a Super Bowl contender to a team that's going to need some breaks to make the playoffs. So it is an incredible, it's not just the way it sets back the Colts franchise in the short and long term. This is the type of move that sends ripple effects throughout the NFL. It changes the division. I think as far as the AFC South goes now, Marcus Mariota did not get a contract extension. For the Titans, it's his division to lose now. With the lack of offensive line in Houston, it looks like they're going to trade Clowney, with Lamar Miller at running back going out for the year and Duke Johnson looking like their starting quarterback. If Marcus Mariota can't win this AFC South, then you might as well cut him loose. So it's a great time to evaluate him if you're a Titans fan. In Jacksonville, I think you've got to hold Doug Marrone to the same standard. Now you've got a quarterback to go with this defense. If you can't win 9 to 10 games, you're out. So it's a hot seat situation for him. Same with Bill O'Brien. You've got the best quarterback in the division win. So somebody in the AFC South now, because they're not going to put three teams into the playoffs, somebody's going to lose their job in that division. Either a quarterback's going to get the boot or a couple of head coaches are going to get fired there after this season. That's the micro of the division. The macro of the conference is this, simply. The Patriots have one fewer team to worry about. In the history of the Patriots and Colts in the playoffs, generally speaking, is that when the two teams play, the Patriots win. Not every time, but most of the time. And now New England has one more franchise quarterback. They can let out a sigh of relief, not that they need it, with the six rings on their fingers. But the weaker of the two conferences got considerably weaker. I think it leaves a void now for me. Now, this is me talking. This leaves a void for, as far as, other than New England, who is the best team? Who has the best chance of getting to a Super Bowl? And so to go through my checklist and process of elimination here, I don't like the Browns. I think Cleveland is a total mirage. I think that Baker Mayfield's numbers against winning teams last year back it up. I think their linebackers, Jamie Collins is gone. I think against the run, Cleveland is still extremely vulnerable. They're going to play a has-been at strong safety in Morgan Burnett. They're banking on a second-round corner to be great right away. They've got a guard position that is a black hole because of the Olivier Vernon trade. So I think the Browns, we've put the cart before the horse with them. I've got Cleveland as a 7-win, maybe 8-win team this year. The Chargers, with the Derwin James injury and the Melvin Gordon holdout, I think it's another year where the football gods have conspired against the Chargers. They already have an awful arrangement and situation where they pretty much play 16 road games. They have no home field advantage in their soccer stadium. Nobody in Los Angeles cares. There's bitter resentment in San Diego, so it's not like their fans make the pilgrimage up to Carson every week to watch them play. They're a nomadic team. They're a team without a home right now. And so it's very rare that the Chargers go and follow up great years where we see them take a 12-win season and come back the next year and win 13. I believe that the Chargers will take a step back. I don't trust their offensive line either. And I know Rivers gets rid of the ball fast, but I think that that line is going to, now going to backup running backs, is going to lead to their undoing. And Derwin James, even more than Bosa, I believe is the MVP of that Chargers defense. He sets the menu for them. They play with a bunch of defensive backs. They did it all year last year because of him. So I don't like the Chargers. The Chiefs with Mahomes and Reed are going to win double-digit games. You could set your watch by that. The Chiefs are not going to fall off a cliff here and be a 6-10 team. They're going to win at least 10 games. The playoffs continue to be a bugaboo for them. And so it's hard for me to like speak it into existence to say the Chiefs are going to win the AFC just because I've been burned and I'm gun-shy with them. I get back to the Steelers, but my Steelers bugaboo, my Steelers conundrum is I never trust them to beat New England when it counts in the playoffs. And when Tomlin goes head-to-head with Belichick, I expect that the coaching advantage for New England is going to be massive in that game, in that matchup. So as much as it pains me to say this because it's redundant and it continues to happen and it's like living in the Twilight Zone or Groundhog Day, I'm back to taking the Patriots to win the AFC. I'm back to New England because the Josh Gordon trade, Chase Winovich, this third-round outside linebacker, looks like he's going to be a stud. And when all else fails, you just trust Belichick and Brady. And I wanted to trust Andrew Luck, Chris Ballard, and Frank Reich, but I'm not buying that Jacoby Brissett is going to be a Kurt Warner story or a Nick Foles story. Frank Reich isn't Bill Belichick, and Jacoby Brissett isn't Nick Foles. I think at the end of the day, Indy's probably a 6-10 team. But they had the potential for a lot more. And we've seen that franchise. When their starting quarterback gets hurt, when Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck go out, it's curtains for them. I know the coaching staff has changed, but I don't look at Jacoby Brissett as somebody that has the switch go on. He's 5-12 as a starting quarterback in this league. I don't think it changes when overnight, his whole mindset was, I carry a clipboard and I'm behind Andrew Luck, and now it's his team. I don't think he leads them to the promised land with 2 weeks to get ready for the season. So that's where I am on the NFL now. I think Andrew Luck makes the AFC and makes the NFL as a whole way less interesting. I want to get your thoughts on Andrew Luck at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. I've seen this tweeted a lot. Luck's list of injuries and the things that he has endured as a 29, soon to be 30-year-old man, and the cost of playing football and the physical toll that it's taken on his body. And that has been held up in the last few hours as a reason why Andrew Luck is justified, has ample reason to hang it up prematurely and get out of the game now. But there's one part of that. I take issue with one part of that story. You know, when you blame football and you blame the Colts, and you look at the way that some guys exit the game of football, there's one thing about that narrative that doesn't sit right with me, and I'll tell you what it is next, and I'll continue to take your thoughts on Luck, too, at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227, because it's obviously the biggest story in sports. I'm Andrew Filippone. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Pony Express. Here's Andrew Filippone.
And our telephone number is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. I'll give you the college football playoff in about 20 minutes. Sports betting's legal where I live, in Pittsburgh, and I'll give you the four teams I'm betting on to make the college football playoff this year. But right now, I understand that there's sensitivity whenever a quarterback or any player retires early because of injury, and it helps that Andrew Luck can articulate and vocalize to people how, like, he can illustrate and explain his feelings well. And he did that at his press conference last night, and the emotional toll, and did not want to go through rehab again, and felt like he was caught in a vicious cycle, etc. And so as that was happening, I kept seeing on Twitter the full rundown, the list of Andrew Luck's injuries. A brief summary of the things that have happened to Andrew Luck since the Colts drafted him back in 2012. And it's not a short list. It wasn't one thing. It was a myriad of things, as Luck put it, that he could never stay injury-free. And so he had concussions, torn abdominal muscles, a torn labrum in his right shoulder, a lacerated kidney where he's bleeding, internal bleeding while he's taking hits, torn labrum in his right shoulder, his throwing shoulder, and now this mysterious calf, Achilles, foot sprain, bone injury. It's been called a million different things. We don't really have clarity on the type of injury, the extent of the injury, how bad it is. The Colts keep calling it a minor injury. Well, it's no longer minor. It's enough for Luck to give up his career because of it. But one of the things that would irk me and bug me from the Colts' perspective, or even from the NFL's perspective, if I'm Roger Goodell and I just lost a player who's appointment viewing, somebody that makes the game better, sterling quarterback play, impressive quarterback play, the NFL has changed its rules. It's completely altered its game to make sure that the quarterbacks are on the field. They believe that the quarterbacks generate bigger audiences, bigger dollars, and they're right to think that way. I mean, look at last year. The ratings were way up in part because Patrick Mahomes burst onto the scene and Andrew Luck rebounded, came back from injury, and played well. The NFL has gambled on quarterbacks. It is investing in quarterbacks. And so now football is being blamed for Luck leaving the game at 29, and the Colts are also being blamed because they didn't protect Luck early in his career. There are kernels of truth in both of those statements, that Luck got hit and pressured a lot, and the job Ryan Grigson did as Colts GM is absolutely like assailable and like just god-awful, and that's in part why Luck took a beating and didn't, in his first few years, win a championship. The supporting cast was atrocious. And even though the NFL continues to try to put quarterbacks in a bubble, they're never going to make football a contact collision sport played at a very fast speed entirely safe. But here's what would bug me if I'm the Colts or I'm the NFL. The biggest injury, not the coup de grace, this calf injury that forces Andrew Luck to retire, the most severe injury that Luck suffered wasn't from football. The torn labrum in his right shoulder, the AC joint injury in his shoulder, the thing that kept him out for an entire season, The genesis of that injury was a snowboarding accident. Andrew Luck came clean. He revealed it a couple years ago. The injury, the start of his problems with his shoulder, was a snowboarding accident. And so when the blame gets put on football, it's too dangerous. You know, retire with your brain and your money and your future. Or when the blame gets put on the Colts, how dare they not give Andrew Luck an offensive line? The GM was incompetent. What a poorly run organization. The biggest injury, the one that created this mindset for Luck, where the rehab and the pain and the suffering, the injury that started him on this dark path where he was unwilling, despite the money, despite the proximity to the start of the season, despite Andrew Luck's close relationship and love for his teammates, the thing that is that probably drove him away from football more than anything else was an injury that occurred while snowboarding. That would drive me nuts, and I don't think I've heard that chapter or that part of the Andrew Luck saga discussed enough or referenced enough since his unlikely retirement last night. It took a series of events for Andrew Luck at 29 years old to, in Jim Irsay's words, turn down, probably over the course of his career, another $400 million or so. It took an unbelievable series of events for Luck to walk away right now. The biggest one was an injury that occurred while snowboarding. Think about that. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You can tweet me at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us at CBS Sports Radio. Coming up, my college football playoff predictions, the four teams who I think will be playing in January for the national championship. Some names you've heard before, some others you haven't. I'll give you my final four coming up.
This is the Pony Express. Here's Andrew Filippone.
Thanks for hanging out with me. Next week at this time, we'll be recapping the first full week of college football. That is, unless we get another NFL star retiring out of nowhere. So I think chances are good we'll be here in this spot next week on CBS Sports Radio, and we'll be reacting to what was week one of the college football season. Going into that Florida-Miami game, I didn't look at either team as a dark horse or a contender for a college football playoff spot. Florida wasn't going to beat Georgia. That's a neutral site game. Georgia's the better team. Georgia will win the SEC East. And Miami isn't going to be able to get by Clemson. And that's if Miami can win the ACC Coastal, which they've only done one time since joining the ACC 15 years ago. Just hard to believe that decision in the early 2000s by Miami and Virginia Tech to bolt and leave the Big East for the ACC. I think at the time the ACC was thinking, oh, this is terrific. We'll have Florida State and Miami in the ACC championship game every year. Instead, Miami has pretty much completely fallen off the map. And that coastal division has turned into like, you know, the most watered-down, mediocre division in college football. So without any further ado, I'm going to give you my college football playoff for 2019. I believe the number one team in America will be Clemson. I've got them going 13-0. getting through the ACC unblemished. They should have the highest scoring offense in America. Trevor Lawrence, first full year as a starter. Look at the offensive numbers last year. Once Dabo Swinney pulled the plug on Kelly Bryant and said, screw seniority, after that A&M game, once it became Trevor Lawrence's offense, they averaged more than 40 points a game. And Clemson doesn't have the elite defense. You know, their whole entire defensive line went into the NFL draft. They've got an All-American quarterback, an All-American running back, an All-American wide receiver, and the best offensive line in the ACC. Clemson will win that conference going away. Maybe some questions over whether or not they'll sweep their two SEC opponents, Texas A&M at home, South Carolina on the road. In my opinion, they could lose one of those games unless they get like waxed and blown out and embarrassed like Ohio State the last 2 years. Ohio State didn't just lose regular season games. They got embarrassed by Iowa and Purdue. So I think Clemson can afford to lose one of those games. They'd get the defending national championship benefit of the doubt. They've been in the college football playoff for the last 4 seasons. I see no way Clemson doesn't make it to the playoff. I have them as my number one seed. I've got one team from the SEC in the playoff this year. I didn't go with Alabama. I picked Georgia. And I went with Georgia over Alabama, not because I think our Desmond Howard kind of lay out this myth. His theory on Alabama, if you missed it on game day yesterday, Desmond Howard's theory on Alabama is the invincibility motif is gone. That Alabama won't put a fear factor into teams because of the way Clemson beat them. Because of the way the national championship game went. I don't think after a full offseason, Alabama and Nick Saban are going to go into games and they're going to either have insecurities or they're going to have nerves play a factor because they lost to a team that they beat in the national championship the year before that, or 2 years before that. Or in the playoff, excuse me. They played in the semifinal that year. My apologies. 2 years before, Alabama took care of Clemson, no problem. I don't think because they lost last year's game now, Alabama is going to go into games and they're going to hope they can win and not know they can win. You have the best, maybe after Lawrence and Higgins, you've got the best quarterback wide receiver tandem in the country. You know Alabama's defense is going to be conservatively top 10. My question with them and the reason why I've got Georgia making it over Alabama is the schedule. The SEC West is the gauntlet. It's the most grueling division in college football. And as I see it, Alabama plays too many road games inside the division against teams that are good enough to beat them. At A&M, at Mississippi State, at Auburn. Best case scenario, I think Alabama gets through those games 2-1. Best case. More realistic might be 1-2. And they haven't lost two games in a season since 2014, but that's what I'm calling for. They've got to replace half their starting lineup. And so I think what Tua did because of the ankle injury in the national championship game was a fluke. I expect that he'll be much better. They've got the number one running back recruit in the country. If he can get healthy and get on the field, Alabama's going to win their double-digit games. But I'm going to take LSU to come out of the SEC West because I like their schedule better. And I think top to bottom, they're still a top five, top 10 team. So I believe Alabama will go and beat LSU in Tuscaloosa. But I don't see another SEC loss on LSU's schedule. So Georgia will play LSU in the SEC championship game. And I'll take Georgia to win. Georgia's a slam dunk to win the East. If Florida is the second best team in the East, if you watched that game last night, that tells you everything you need to know about that half of the SEC. Clemson 1, Georgia 2. That's the top half of my college football playoff. The bottom two teams are probably going to surprise you. Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio. My next team in is Michigan. And this is a make or break year for me with Michigan. I can't predict playoffs and Big Ten championships over and over again, only to have Ohio State annually beat them at the end of the year, and then have Michigan wallow in self-pity and get their asses kicked in their bowl game every season. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't think Jim Harbaugh is on the hot seat, but his credibility as a great coach at the pro level and the college football level boils down to this year. This is it for him. Ryan Day, whose previous head coaching experience is during that Urban Meyer suspension, they didn't play the toughest schedule. It was their September schedule at that point. They were not into the meat of the Big Ten. Ryan Day wasn't taking Ohio State into Penn State. He wasn't leading Ohio State against Michigan at the end of the year. I don't know about the quarterback. I don't know about Fields at Ohio State yet. I do know that Shea Patterson is now in an offense that is groomed and is built around him. They've got the best offensive line, John Runyon and company, in the Big Ten. I think it's Michigan's division to lose. So I think Michigan State is always going to give Jim Harbaugh a hard time, but that game's in Ann Arbor this year. The Ohio State game is in Ann Arbor. The toughest game in terms of where the game is going to get played is probably Penn State, but Penn State just named a quarterback 2 days ago to start its season. They've got to deal with the loss of Trace McSorley and Miles Sanders. And by the way, I don't think James Franklin is exactly setting the world on fire as a game day coach. Jim Harbaugh has won double-digit games 3 out of his 4 years at Michigan. I think this is the year he gets over the hump. They'll beat Ohio State on November 30th, and they'll win the Big Ten. So that's my third team in. My last team in is based mostly on the college football playoff committee's history and less about the kind of caliber of team I'm putting into the playoff as my fourth team in. I'm going to take Washington as my last team into the college football playoff, and I'm going to do it because there's a precedent here. The committee has never put a two-loss team in. I don't see two losses on Washington's schedule. The Pac-12 is terrible. The Pac-12 North is the tougher of the two leagues, but Washington State's got to replace Minshew at quarterback. Stanford's schedule, I think, top to bottom is too hard. Oregon is going to lose to Auburn on Saturday. Washington, like they did when they made the playoff back in 14, scheduled nobody out of conference. It's Eastern Washington, Hawaii, and BYU. They should win those three games. They get Utah to come to Seattle. Oregon comes to Seattle. Their toughest game is at Stanford. I think Washington finishes the year at 12-1 with a Pac-12 championship. And I think based on history, the committee will take the Pac-12 champion over a two-loss team. So Alabama might be 10-2 at the end of the year, and they've played the much tougher schedule. And I think the committee would take Washington. The Pac-12 has been left out in the cold for the playoffs the last couple of years. And I believe that they'll throw the conference a bone when it's all said and done. So that's my playoff. I've got Clemson, Washington in one semifinal. I've got Georgia and Michigan in the other. I think Georgia is going to win the national championship. I think Georgia will play Clemson for all the marbles, and I think the Bulldogs will beat them. I think the championship trophy, the hardware, will go back to the SEC, but it won't be Alabama. The first week of the season, which, you know, starts in earnest on Saturday, you know, it does not exactly come in with a bang. There's one top 25 matchup, two top 25 teams matched up against each other on Saturday, and that's the Oregon-Auburn game, which is a litmus test game for the Pac-12, and for the SEC, it's just another Saturday. Of all the predictions you can take to the bank, though, Clemson getting to the college football playoff, I'm surprised that sports books are even taking action on that. Because if it's not Clemson out of the ACC, then who? I mean, who's going to win that league? Florida State, 5-7 last year. Syracuse have another kind of miracle year in them, doubtful. I saw what Miami is last night. I think Virginia Tech, now that Frank Beamer is gone, is just another program. Pitt's a 500 team. Virginia's a basketball program. North Carolina, Georgia Tech, Duke either have new coaches or new quarterbacks. So Clemson, the line for their first game is 35.5 points against Georgia Tech on Thursday. They should win that game by 40 or 50. It's going to get ugly. And it'll be that way the whole year. It's going to be up to Dabo Swinney if he wants to show mercy on some of these overmatched opponents inside the ACC. So that's what we've got to look forward to from college football. More of the same. The only kind of out of nowhere prediction that I'm going to make here is that Alabama won't make the playoff, and it's mostly because of their schedule. All right, you can continue to follow me on Twitter at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio. Things will change a little bit once college football and the NFL season get underway. So next week is my final full show on here before we transition over to our NFL coverage on Sundays, which is really good if you haven't heard it. It's pretty much like a radio red zone where we whip you around from game to game on an NFL Sunday. Big thanks to everybody in New York who helped put on the show and everybody listening today and participating in the show. Coming up on many of these same stations, the great Jody McDonald is next. I'll talk to you next Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. It's the Pony Express, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.